Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jamie Lang, and this is Great Company. Hello.
Hello. You all right?
I feel good. How do you feel?
I'm good. Who are you?
Oh, do I need to introduce myself?
Yes.
All right.
Come on, intro yourself.
I'm Jamie Lang.
Well done.
I'm the host of the podcast.
Yeah.
And you are?
Your producer.
You're my producer, Jemima.
What are we doing today, Jamie?
Yeah, we should probably chat about what we're doing today. So we are interviewing someone today for our show, Great Company.
Yeah, that name.
We went through lots of different names, right, didn't we?
Some of them are awful.
Mm-hmm. but we settled on Great Company.
Yep.
Because this is what this show is about.
Mm-hmm.
I have always learned from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved being in other people's company. And I think actually in this world where we are so connected, we become disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I want to go back to just spending time with people and learning from people and understanding people. And that's what this show is about. It's about great company. And what I'm hoping is that the lovely listener is going to come on this journey with me. This is about them. This is the podcast where they can listen to and escape for that half an hour, those 40 minutes, that hour and a half, depending on how much you cut and edit. But that's what it is. And I really think what we crave in life is great company. And this is what this podcast is. And we thought we'd begin the episodes by discussing who we have on the show together, right?
A little peek behind the curtain of what goes on before the guest arrives.
We thought it would be a better idea than me just talking into the microphone, but actually talking to you, my producer.
Yeah.
Because you help prepare every episode.
Yeah, and you can hear the things that Jamie wants to ask and is not allowed to ask.
Today's episode, we have the musician, Phenomenon. Youngblood.
Such an exciting guest.
Wow. So Youngblood's real name is Dominic Richard Harrison. Do I call him Dom?
I think Dom, not Dominic.
Okay, or do I call him Youngblood?
Young, for sure.
Young.
God, we're old.
Oh, no, I'm not old. I'm young. But he's 26. He's an English singer-songwriter. He's born in Doncaster. He's been surrounded by music his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He struggles with insomnia.
Yeah. Do you think you'll have anything in common with him?
Yeah, I think I will.
What?
I'm guessing here, but I think we both strive to be the center of attention because we think it validates us. And we think that if we get outside love from other people, then it will probably fill a hole inside of us that we're missing.
Wow.
That was deep.
That was really deep. Well, who's going to be the center of attention in this episode then?
Definitely not me.
Good. Well done.
Okay. So if I speak too much, you just give me that look, all right?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I feel like you're ready for this.
I think I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah. Episode one, Great Company.
Here we go with Youngblood.
It does sound good in here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like...
like honey.
Ethereal. Like we're in a different planet or something.
I don't know what ethereal means, but that
sounds good. I don't either, but it sounded good. Hello, I'm Youngblood and I'm great. Good company? Great. Great, fuck. Hello, I'm Young... fuck.
Yeah.
My ass.
It's great.
It's great, right? Great company.
Great, yeah, great. Great, great. Like the Great Wall of China. Great.
Okay, fair, fair. Hello, I'm Youngblood and I'm great company, I promise.
I read that you have trouble sleeping as well.
Yeah, complete insomniac.
Complete?
Yeah, fully. Just like terrible at it.
Terrible
at sleeping, honestly.
Really?
I actually get a bit stressed out. It gets to 10 o'clock, sat like watching the telly, watching the box or whatever, and I'm like, oh shit, I've got to go to bed soon.
Mm.
And I get in bed and I'm like, and then it just like all starts going.
But what is it you're thinking about? Because you're overthinking or you're thinking about sleeping or what is it?
I'm overthinking. Sometimes I'm just anxious. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I'm just like stressed about something. Or sometimes I'm just weirdly excited.
So like, you get that as well?
You know, like Christmas. I was the worst Christmas sleeper. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I'm going to hear my dad like put down a stocking in a minute. And I'm like, you know what I mean? Or whatever. But I remember the first time I didn't really sleep, I was in Brighton. We were playing a festival called the Great Escape Festival. And we apparently, like, when you're in a band, and me and my drummer and my guitar player, we literally just lived in a squat in South London. And we were like, people might see us here tomorrow. So we've really got to nail it. And we just weirdly, randomly stayed at this dude's house, and me and my guitar player were sleeping on a sofa. And the thing about my guitar player is he breathes. He's like this, really deeply in bed. He's like, and he would do it every like 3 minutes, and it kept me up all night, and I haven't slept since Brighton. Honestly, I've not slept since Brighton. So every time I go back to Brighton, I'm like, you motherfucker, I hate this place.
What year was that?
Probably like 2016. Honestly. So that's why I wear eyeliner, because it's like, if I take it off, you actually see like the weather. The, what do you call it? Crambazzled.
You see the crambazzled.
You see me crambazzled as fuck if you take this
man,
off.
Man, I had this as well. I got married, and leading up to my wedding, the same thing. I had one night where I didn't sleep, and then I was like, well, I'm not going to sleep again. And then the next night. And it's a sketchy thing when you get into that mindset where you start to think, oh, I got bed going. Because bed should be a place which you're excited about, right?
100%. And then it's just like, getting out of bed in the morning when I've actually fallen asleep is really hard. But going to bed, it's like, you know when you're trying to get up, bed feels amazing.
Yeah.
Just like warm and just like, yeah. But like when you're going to bed, it's like, oh no.
But you have so much energy, man.
Yeah, too much.
So much.
Too much.
It's great.
Yeah, it's funny.
Your energy is, dude, I want to say your energy is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's like, it, and I'm sure your team must feel the same thing. Is
well,
that you,
I don't know, man. I run them ragged.
What is the difference between Youngblood and Dominic?
Fucking hell, that's the question.
That is the question, right. And how...
I such a, you're good, you.
Dude, I listen.
Fucking hell, it's like, I got to pay you for being my therapist.
Do you know what? Fuck, I'm fucking good at this.
I know you are, man. It's like flowing. I think
no,
like,
because it's because, look, you know, for me, I think we all live like it's people. Someone once said to me, right, that we have like four different personalities. One when we're with our family, one when we're with our partner,
100%.
One with our friends, and one when we're by ourselves.
100%.
And you, Youngblood and Dominic are obviously the same person, but they're separate.
No,
one's more
fully,
volumed up.
100%. Like, because it's like, I needed to protect myself.
Why?
Because I hated myself. I grew up my whole life like feeling, waking up with pain in my stomach, hating myself. So I was like, how can I create something that I love and want to be? It's like, I almost like created a caricature to become like a superhero. Like, I don't know, like fucking Spider-Man or some shit. In my head, I was like, I don't just want to sing. I don't just want to blah, blah, blah. I want to create something that I can put on that makes me feel powerful and people can connect to that make them feel powerful. It was literally just like, that's why I've always said Youngblood isn't me. I've always said it's each and every one of those people, because you come to the gig, you put on the socks, you paint the nails, you get the heart tattoos, you find a community of people that are exactly like you, and you can forget about everything for 2 hours. And that was why what it was. And now what's crazy is like, now it's caught up with me a little bit, because you don't expect for it to kind of get as big as it is.
No, you don't.
And then you get into a point where people start to not believe it because it's not real. I was like, well, it isn't. It's literally, it was a character that was built to make me feel like I could belong on this planet.
I don't know why that makes you feel emotional.
It's crazy.
That makes me feel like really emotional for some reason.
It is fucking emotional.
Because it's really childlike as well, because it's your superhero.
100%.
And then the superhero you is becoming, you're putting on your cape.
100%, because it's just like, I am ordinary. I am an ordinary dude who fucking likes a cup of tea with one sugar in it and fucking like is really anxious and doesn't fucking like cinnamon. You know what I mean? But when I'm fucking Youngblood, I'm like, can walk out in stage in front of 35,000 people and be like, yo, it's fucking going to be all right. And then while I'm telling them that, I'm telling myself that, because it never fucking, pain doesn't stop. We all know that. It doesn't fucking end. It just doesn't. For every one of us. Not like in a way that's like, every one of us goes through shit. And it's just like, I want that to be by people's side forever. And I think what I've realized is like, going into our next album is like, people will leave this community. People come and go. People outgrow it. People like, oh, it was great when I was 15, but now I don't know anymore. And it's kind of used to worry me, but I'm like, I'm going to be here forever. So when you want to come back, when you want to leave, when you want to vibe out, when you don't, it's cool. Like, I kind of had to really come to terms with that. Been like, every album is a personal thing. And I think I kind of really went into a thing where I was trying to cater for everybody. And when you're trying to cater for 5 million people, like, fucking hell.
You can't do it.
So I just kind of had to say to myself, like, especially this next album that's coming that I'm making at the minute, Dominic is really bleeding into it.
Really?
You know what I mean? It's kind of got to the point where I'm like, okay, like...
Because you're becoming more your organic, authentic self.
Yeah, I've kind of gone on a mental journey where I've learned a lot. I've been kicked, I've been scratched, I've been scarred. I've also been loved and I've also met, I don't know, 200, 300, 400,000 people and heard their stories and kind of realized that, you know what, like, it'll be all right because I have a lot of faith in humanity, even though the world's pretty fucked right now. When I meet these people, I'm like... There's some fucking hope here.
Because you're almost then starting to accept yourself and you're going like, I can actually lean into Dominic now and just, actually, it's okay. And you're comfortable.
But it's a trip because it's scary. It's the most scary because I'm like, oh, well, people fell in love with the character. If I change it or morph it or drop it a little bit, I'm like, fuck, like, my biggest fear is abandonment. You know what I mean? From everything.
Hey, snap, you know, padlock.
You know what I mean?
Two,
it's just like, like, don't leave me.
Don't leave me.
No, please. And I think kind of, that's why I love Bowie and I turn to Bowie a lot because that was, I think, even though it might not have seemed intentional, Bowie's career was like, whatever, 60 years long. Mm. And he changed every fucking 2 years. And became something new. And I don't know if that was because he didn't fucking know who he was the whole time, like I'm talking about. And he had to put on create these superheroes. You know what I mean? It's all a trip.
But do you know, it's so funny. The more, when you were that 7-year-old kid, that naivety that you have.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
Because you're not worried. You don't have anything to lose. And then when you get to your position now, which is, you're globally famous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Your albums are number one. You're selling out everywhere. You have so much more to lose.
100%.
And then for someone with the fear of abandonment, that pressure is almost so great because you're like, shit, what happens if this now goes?
Yeah, it's crazy. And the worst shit is like, I used to like your stuff. It's like, oh, it's the worst thing ever. It's like, I used to like your shit. I'm like, it's literally just like... blood. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, what do I say to that? Like,
I'll make something for you.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you want? What can I give you? You want a jazz album? Sick. 1, 2, 3. I'm like, whatever. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, literally, it's like fucking crazy to do that.
You want a jazz album?
I'm just like, what do you want? It's like, You used to be an emo, but now you work in accounts at a fucking law firm. Sick. What do you like? Swing? Okay. You know what I mean? It's fucking mental. But then you realise, like, all you got to do is get back the naivety and just be like, I'm fucking doing this. Fuck you.
Because it's for me, right? Yeah, it's not actually, because then when you start doing things for other people, that's when the creativity is ruined because you're not being your true authentic self.
Everything. When you start doing something for other people, you're lying. Completely, you know what I mean? It's just literally just like, even if a little bit, 2% lie, the fucking people can smell it. And I think that's why Youngblood broke through in the first place, because it was so fucking unhinged. Like, I remember, like, everyone was like, really, do you want to do this? We put out Parents, and the line is like, my daddy put a gun to my head, said, if you kiss a boy, I'm going to shoot you dead. So I tied him up with gaffer tape, locked him in a shed, then went out to the garden and fucked my best friend. And Interscope, a crazy label, they're like, you cannot release that. You're literally talking about gun violence and tying up your dad in the name of love. And I'm like, yeah. And we put it out and it was fucking huge. It's like two times platinum.
Is it true?
It was a resemblance of an older generation. It put the words in every young queer kid's mouth. It's like, you're not literally going to like do that, but it's like,
it's what you
take the fucking power back.
It's what you want to do.
Yeah, take the power back. It's just like, get with it because it's going to happen. And it did. You know what I mean? It was cool, man. It was cool to be a part of a movement around artists like Lil Peep, Mac Miller, Billie Eilish.
Mac Miller, man.
You know what I mean? Like, a generation, like, when you look back on it, I don't think you can really look at it now because you don't feel like you're a part of something, but it was like the Pistols and the Clash and a young movement in like across the countries, like Billy and Lil Nas X and Lil Peep and Mac Miller handling America, and then like we were trying to hold it down over here. You know what I mean? It was cool. It was cool to just kind of have this shift.
Are you quite trusting?
Too trusting, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I get bitten a lot because I really fuck with people. You know
what
I mean?
In what way?
I just love meeting people. Mm. Honestly, I'll have a conversation with anyone. The other day, right, my taxi driver, I brought him into the studio. Honestly, I got a taxi driver from the station. I was like, do you want to come in? Because he started talking about you too. I was like, come and have a cup of tea. And they was there for 6 hours.
What?
Yeah, in Leeds. Just there for 6 hours. Started talking about you two and everything. And I came in the studio and my band's like, what the fuck? Why are you doing this? Why is this like old Leeds United fan sat down in the studio? I'm like, nice guy, innit?
I love that because there's something you... Because I see this like with all your fans that you have, right? Because your fans are so dedicated to you. And I see it, you know, I see it in... You know, Louis Theroux documentary, I see it when you talk about it on social media or when you know, in your music. You're so obsessed with your fans. And because I honestly think it's a British thing for some reason.
Yeah, no, it really is.
But there's a different thing. But also in a British thing, there's something like when people are so dedicated and wanting to know people, whether it's like getting the taxi driver out, people want to think, oh, there's another alternative to that. There's something more to, oh, is he doing that just because, oh, he wants to look like he's one of the people and stuff like that. And it's negative. But actually with you, it's not. You generally just want, you just like these people and want to connect with them.
I just love meeting people. I think it's quite a northern thing as well to like say hello to everyone you meet. I remember first moving down to London, I was on the tube, I'm like, how you doing, all right? And someone's like, fuck off. I'm like, oh, like, you know what I mean? I was quite naive. I was like, me just come down to London at 15, like, how you doing, mate, all right? And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking to me for? You know what I mean? But I always loved people, and I always kind of when I grew up, I always spent a lot of time in my imagination because I felt quite lonely where I was from, because I just looked like this and it wasn't really like, I don't know, it wasn't really accepted where I was from. So it was a bit rough.
This is Doncaster.
Yeah, Doncaster. So I really wanted to meet people. I just loved hearing people's stories from like whatever. And I loved music and I loved talking to people. I just wanted to, I think like, again, like talking about my sleep pattern, I don't like having quiet in my head. I'm really bright person, but then it kind of like can turn dark quite quickly. So I like to meet people because I don't know, I love like vibing off people's energy. Mm. And then I don't know, I think people do find it quite a lot, me quite a lot, and disingenuous. You know what I mean? I think people find me quite a lot. And I think that's why a lot of people, I'm a little bit like Marmite me. You know what I mean? People will absolutely love it or hate it. And I think, if you're going to like my music, you've got to kind of like me. And I'm quite a lot to deal with sometimes, you know what I mean?
Do you find that tricky though? Because look, we just met just now. And I think we're similar in lots of ways, relating myself to Youngblood straight away. We are
mad heads.
We're just like I want to talk about ADHD and things like that and just the energy. But I'm sensitive.
I'm so sensitive.
So sensitive, right? And so that must be tricky because in my life, I'm desperate for people to love me and 100%. Want me and accept me and all those things, but that's impossible to do.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yours is even more so because you're a musician. It's you really want people to like you, but of course you're going to have people who do think you're mommy. But how do you deal with that? Because that's a tricky thing.
I really get affected by things. You know what I mean? I'm really like... I call it an empath, I think, right? I'm really empathetic or whatever you call it. I feel empathy a lot. I'm like, if I see someone's down in the room, I want to be like, yo, and like try and bring them up because I kind of take on everyone's thing, energy in the room. I think that's kind of why like, probably one of the most fundamental reasons why I think we've got to where we got to, because I was really good at vibing with people. You know what I mean? I was really good at being like, oh, you don't seem all right. What's going on? Or, oh, you seem really happy. I would love to talk about that because I'm having a rubbish day today. And I think it's hard because it's like I've got thicker skin and I've kind of like more so now than ever, like I'm hitting 27 next and I'm kind of like, oh, I'm starting to kind of not care as much anymore. But I've said I've not cared for years and it's been a complete front and it's been a complete and utter lie because it's just like, whoa, and the internet can make up the truth. Like everything you read on the internet is true. Yeah, of course it is. You know what I mean? And then you like, you don't want to stoop to a level where you got to defend yourself. But like when people leave shit, you read it. You know that. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, that sucks. Or like one of your favorite like people's like, oh, that fucking Youngblood, what a wanker. And you're like, oh, fuck. All right, fair. I'm down. I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? I get that I'm loud and a bit mental, but I'm like, oh, shit. Fair.
I know exactly.
And you just want to meet everyone and be like, yo.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm really nice.
Honestly, like, bro, I can I tell you some shit, though? I've been in pubs and I've actively sought out people who have, like, I can see someone, like, laughing at me in a pub and I've actively tried to meet them. And there's a mental...
Because you want to gain...
Basically, there was a stag do in... We were in Lisbon, right? And we were playing a gig in Lisbon. We had a day off.
Yeah.
And I was sat in a square and there was a stag do at the side of me. It's usually like lads who, I don't know if they're into me, you know what I mean? Because I'm into like the makeup and like whatever. And I'm like, I can hear them. So I go sit down. And I'm like, what's happening, lads? And they're all just like, oh, like full on shit themselves. And I was like, they could have battered me, man. They were like 10 tons. And I'm just like, kid in makeup. And I sit down next to them. You were there, remember? And I was just like, what's happening, lads? And we just started talking. And we just kept getting a bit more drunk. And you know what I'm saying? There's nothing more funny than like a fucking really pissed up accountant after like 10 drinks who's like completely hates you. But then he starts turning around and says, listen, mate, I thought you're a fucking wanker, to be honest. But like, my girlfriend really likes you and you're actually all right, you know? And I'm like, I know exactly. So I really thought you were just a fucking wanker, you know? And
my sister thinks
you. And he's like looking at me and I'm kind of just like, you have to just take that shit. And you're like, oh, fucking well, sick man. And then we became...
It's funny though that we just take it.
It's funny.
That's all right. Thank God. Yeah. Good thing I'm not a wanker. Cheers, man.
And then I was like, oh, all right, lads. Well, fucking, I hope you have a great night tonight. We're playing tomorrow night. Do you want to come? And they were like, really? I was like, yeah, man. And we got them tickets to it. And they fucking loved it, didn't they? They loved the show. And like, they text Adam, my manager, and were like, that was fucking sick. And I was just like, I actively go out of my way to be like, all right. If I notice someone is kind of trying to hate on it or trying to blah, 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 it's because they don't understand it. Like, Youngblood has always just been about love and, like, bringing people together. And I know I look a bit fucking like a rascal or like I don't fucking shower, but I do. I really smell really good. You know what I mean?
How long did... Because that's a... It's a... Do you know, it's brave of you to say that because it's very, you know, 27 in the least patronizing way is still really young. And for you to be able to admit that you used to say that you didn't care and now be able to say, look, I did care.
Yeah.
I did care about all those things, but I pretended that I didn't. It took me way longer to admit that, not only to myself, but to like other people.
But I just think like, you can't, if you tell the truth and just completely wear your heart on your sleeve, like, and you get through after like, 20 years or some shit, like you'll be all right, I think.
But can I ask a personal question as well? Because it's one of these things where, from what I can gauge from, like, and where I said our similarities are, is that we're easily led.
Yeah.
We really want to impress. We're desperate to reach a certain place at a young age because we want to get validation from our parents, or we're searching for something. We've got this fear of abandonment. So for me, that led me when I did this reality show, right, which was just like not a great idea for lots of reasons.
I liked it.
It was good. It was a great show.
I grew up on that shit. I was hard.
But it was a great show.
Yeah.
But I took it's not my interview, but I took a shortcut into an industry that I wanted to be into. And then when you take a shortcut, you have a long way around.
I feel you.
But I got some sort of fame and nowhere near the fame that you had, but it led me down a path, which is like, I started drinking way too much getting, you know, into that sort of area of things, which wasn't a good situation. You have this crazy fame. Like, how did you control yourself or didn't you control yourself? Or have you learned to control yourself now?
Yes, now it was food.
Really?
I really not like my body for a long time. I really kind of would go on like weird food binges, which I've actually never talked about on a thing before, which is weird. But I've kind of just kind of came to terms with that. Like, would just kind of like just go like, you know what I'm saying? I don't really want to say it, but like I go around it. You know,
I'll
what I mean?
Be real with you right now. Okay, so when I was 16, 17 years old, I was a rugby player.
Yeah.
I loved it more than anything. It's everything that I wanted to do. 17 years old, I was on tour in Italy. I had this dream of I was going to do it. And I did my ACL ligament.
Fair, but I've never really I've done an ACL like, too.
I did my ACL, couldn't play rugby again. But I was still eating the same diet was when I was playing rugby. My mum used to say to me, you look really stocky. I was like, wow, I look great, whatever. It was back in the day when there was just photos that you developed. She took a photo of me on holiday, whatever. I got them developed. And I saw what I looked like and I suddenly... I was like stocky. Yeah. I was overweight.
Yeah.
And I had immediate shame, and I never had that before. And then for a period, I had a strange
weird thing. Yeah.
Weird thing with eating. And I never wanted to admit that.
It's
ever.
So weird. I agree. It's like when I look back on it, I drink. I like beer. I always have done. But it was the food thing, and what I would do after I ate the food that was like, oh. But you don't, you watch the documentaries and you think the blah, blah, blah. And
it's
you,
not me.
It's never going to be me. And then it kind of hits you and it's just like, I've never excessively drunk. I've never excessively done drugs. I've just not been into it. You know what I mean? Like, because I got ADHD. I've not been into it. I mean, me dad's mum, out of the whole family stuff, died of alcoholism.
Wow.
We basically lost the business. We lost the house. And she kind of just couldn't, like, 18 months later, she died, which was crazy. So it kind of scared me off. I was like, no, I've seen my grandma literally deteriorate. So I was like, that's not my story. I'm going to kind of, part of Youngblood is like, there is an answer. And it's like not been, you know what I mean? Not been alone and like, come together, find friends. You don't need to turn to these things because I know it gets rough and I know depression's hard and I know anxiety's hard and I know the world is, but if you turn to your friends online, that's all I want to do with Youngblood, like turn to these people here in a chat, you can talk about it all from a real perspective because people have problems with therapy sometimes. I go to therapy, I think it's great, but people don't like it. So like, I just want to be like, yo, find each other. And
But why do you become nervous about talking about the food thing? Why?
Because I've not done it yet. I've not kind of like, it's like even this morning I was like putting on an outfit. I'm like, I've really not liked my body for some weird reason. It's a weird, weird thing that I've.
So many people have that, man.
You know what I mean? It is a weird, weird vibe.
Yeah, because it's that self-hatred towards yourself. You just don't feel like you look good enough. Right?
Yeah, I don't know what the vibe
is. And some people would look at you and say, what a good-looking, charming, amazing guy. And they would.
So weird.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
But it's so funny, like, It's like we'll do whole shoots that'll just never come out because I'm like, I hate my body. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, no, it's not coming out. And I'll freak out and shit. There's so many videos that just never come out because I'm like, oh, I don't like the way I look there. I don't like the... Don't know, you know what I mean? It's like...
Man, I applaud you for being vulnerable.
Then there's also that thing about like, I just think if you wear your art on your sleeve, as I was saying earlier, like, I just want to do that because I think like if I do that, then it's like, I don't know how, like people are going to love it or not, but at least when it kind of, the curtain falls at the end of my fucking life, I'm like, I was really true about everything. And I was really like honest about everything with everyone, because I think the worst thing that you can be called as an entertainer is a liar, or as an artist is a liar. And I've been called that and I fucking hate it. And I'm not.
Do you find it tricky getting close to people? And let me just explain this. So like, you like to connect with everyone, but do you stop yourself getting really close to people because that becomes too intimate and then you're scared of people finding out? You almost thinking yourself, maybe I'm not good enough, so I don't want them to find out exactly who I am. So you almost spread yourself too thin across lots of people.
It's kind of funny. I get really close to people really quick, but then don't necessarily let them like really in, you know what I mean? I'm like,
why do you stop them?
I don't know. It's just kind of like, because I think what, like my kind of crew friendship group is really tight. Like it's the fucking best thing in the world with us, because I've just done this with me mates. You know what I mean? Like, starting from the beginning, like, we just looked into an iPhone and just did it with me friends. Like, everything we make is, like, when we get 2,000 kids to fucking Washington Square in New York, my best mate is, like, sat negotiating with the NYPD, being like, oh, honestly, it'll be fine. I promise, or whatever. It's just us. So I think I really feel like I need to protect that, and kind of in the past I've let people into it that have really kind of skewed the balance, you know what I mean, or let their opinion in. I really kind of, I've listened to people too much. I think it's because of a deep rooted insecurity that I'm not good enough, you know what I mean, or like I'm like, fucking hell, how did I get here to do that? And I kind of listen to too many people sometimes, but then I figure it out real quick and I snap back into it. But I'm kind of weird like that. I like, let, if I meet someone, I'm like, muse out on them hard. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, whoa, I like that vibe for a little bit and I like that vibe. And then kind of like, especially my like last album cycle, a lot of people, a lot of cooks got into the pot. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, whoa. Our first album, we were like 17.
Man, that's so young.
17, we were making it, released it about 18 or 19, right? Mm-hmm. You're just doing what you want. No one cared in the UK. No one wanted to sign us. No one wanted to write about us. No one even wanted to come see us play. It was like, oh, shit. Like, we were literally, like, about to just stop. And we went to America, and then whatever, it started happening. And
but no, but to say, what started happening?
It was like a film. We went to America. We snuck in. Basically, with guitar cases, be like, "What? Why are you bringing those in, sir?" I'm like, just like want to write on the hotel or whatever." I was like, completely like lied, and we got like all our drum kit and whatever, trying to get into America because my manager had set up a meeting in New York. It was like the last resort, basically. Like the UK didn't want to have anything to do with it. We were kind of big, weirdly, in the Netherlands. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of just like, I was like, sick, all right, if this fails, I'll just move to the Netherlands, become like young von blood, you know what I mean? Or something. And then...
How niche.
Yeah, bro, they're always first, man. Yeah. The Dutch don't give a fuck. They're cool as fuck.
They are cool.
Yeah, they are. Cool.
Great style as well. Everything.
Don't give a shit, bro. Like, if you go to a Dutch festival, people are fucking wasted at like 11 a.m. I'm like, wow. Honestly, they're like, yeah, man, let's fucking go. Crazy. And we just fucking basically, it was two options. Nail America or this really small meeting. But in my head, I'm like, we're in New York. Wow, it's all going to happen. Or go back and become the Netherlands' biggest rock star. You know what I'm saying? That was the choice, right? We get to New York. I take this guy with me called Emmett Power, and he's Irish, right? And he's like,
this is amazing.
He's fucking mental, right?
Keep going, like, really give me every detail.
If it's too long, we can cut it out, but anyway.
Give me every detail, I want everything.
So Emmett Power is this Irish guy who is literally probably like, he's moved from a farm to London and basically got a job with me management, right? And he can literally like, wangle you into anywhere. I'm telling you, like, we could go to, I don't know, the craziest party in Mayfair and we stink a damp because we're living in a squat and he'll get us in. You know what I mean? I'll be like, pretend we're like Pete Doherty's sixth cousin once removed and like we're in. You know what I mean? Or whatever. So we get to New York. I'm writing in a recording studio inside a Universal building because that's where one producer we manager knew 10 years ago was like going to give me a shot. And he pretends to be my drummer because when you go into Universal, you get these like passes, right? You get these like 12-hour passes that's got a stop sign on it that after 12 hours, it says stop and you're not allowed in anymore because you've got a show in past security at the desk. And he pretends to be my drummer, rides the elevator up and down all day. He's like, Roy, you heard of this Youngblood kid? Yeah, he's blowing up in England. He's going to be the next fucking Smiths, I'm telling you. To every A&R. You know what the music industry is like? Everyone starts fucking talking. Because it's all bollocks, though. Like, I've got 6,000 followers on Instagram. I'm writing in a fucking studio. And everyone starts talking and chatting shit. Being like, oh, yeah, have you heard this Youngblood kid? I've heard that name somewhere. Then it reaches the West Coast. The East Coast starts talking to the West Coast. My manager starts getting calls from, like, A&Rs in, like, fucking LA. Being like, yo, we want to fly him down for a showcase. So we've got to New York, taking this meeting with it, like, this mediocre meeting. And then 3 days later in Los Angeles, we have a showcase at like fucking school night because a radio DJ had heard about us and wants to book us on his night. We get to the school night. We're in the fucking toilets because there's no dressing room. I'm in like the men's loo, like the audience coming in, like the A&R's coming in having a piss. He's like, oh, I'm coming to see him. And I'm like, all right, lads. You know, I mean, just sat in the fucking bog, just like stressed out, nervous as fuck. So I'm like, Eminem, lose yourself shit. Like, this is it. Throw up in the toilet. My guitar player's Scottish. He's like, oh, it's a fucking man. We'll just go out there and fucking do it. And I'm like, I'm just like, all right, fuck it. Go outside, play a gig, probably like the craziest gig of our fucking career, right? Do the thing. And then the man's toilet after it is like the fucking 70s. Everyone's trying to get back there being like, yo, we'll fucking give you a record deal. And we're in the like the dude's loo, just like, what the fuck is going on? And then 2 days later, we signed a record deal in America. And they wouldn't let me leave until I signed it. To Interscope Records. It was like fucking mental. And then
that
like,
is nuts.
And then nothing happened for 6 months. Because it's like, don't matter if you get signed. And everyone talk so funny, like
that's funny how you say everything you're going for, and then suddenly you get it, and it's like
yeah, cool.
Nothing right. changes.
It's like, just like, all right, cool. Here's some money.
How much did they give you when they're saying
that? We went to America with 60 quid. We came back with 800 grand, and that's all to give you, and you're beholden to it. A lot of people think you get signed to a record label, and then they're just fucking it's done. It's literally not. It's like, right, there's your money. You got to show some results or we'll drop you. And it's literally just like, oh, fuck. But what we did is like, I just basically like went around the whole building that week, shook everyone's hand and was like, listen, I want to fucking do anything. I'll do anything. Like, what? Like, tell me, like, I'll fucking do it. I have an idea. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to like promote it. This is what I want to talk about in my music. I want to talk about, because like the UK really wouldn't sign us because I was like really political. And like everyone's like, I remember someone being like, that's never going to get played on Radio 1. Someone said that to me because I was like being political. Some manager, I remember, I'm not going to out them, but they were like, that's never going to get played on Radio 1. It's too dangerous. You know what I mean? But they didn't understand what was happening within a generation. My generation in the wake of Brexit were like, we've been more vocal and been a lot more. And it's like everything when that happens, art reflects whatever's going on in the world. And I was like, I want to talk about this, I want to blah, blah, blah. And that's partly why I signed Interscope, because Interscope had Eminem and Lady Gaga and Dr. Dre and NWA. They were famous for their Marilyn Manson before he was a cunt. Like, you know what I mean? It was literally just like...
Famous for shouting
just
out.
Anyone who wanted to make, like, do something crazy. And the one person I met was like, I made really good friends with the international department. I was like, please, just send me all over the world. Like, just I was like, I don't care about videos. I don't care because that money is basically like, here you go. That's just it. We're giving you that. And if it works, great. We're going to take 80% of every 100 quid you earn until you pay it back. Or you're going to, it's a bad investment. So that's what they do for you. And then it's literally just like, I just made friends with the international department. I was like, please, can we use the money to just send me around the world? Just so I can like go and play some gigs, go and meet some people, like do anything. And that's how Youngblood started.
Because you could feel it. You knew if you had the money to go around the world, you could connect with these people.
I just was like, if you put me in a room with 50 people, like there might be 5 kids there who I need to meet. And that was it. And that's how Youngblood kind of started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you good at taking compliments?
No. I kind of do this. Oh, yeah, cheers, man.
But you're good at taking criticism, which is strange, right?
I'm great at it. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But I take that on board, but the comments, are you fucking kidding me?
Just like, oh, I like you, like someone, but I love what you're wearing. I'm like, oh, yeah, sick. You too. Don't talk to me about it. You look better than me. Oh, you know what I mean? I'll be like, someone's like, oh, I like your shoes. I'm like, oh, sick, man. So I like yours too.
Man, I need to give you compliments now because you are like we record lots of these episodes, right? And this is you we are so excited for you to come in here because we were so excited to have you on the show that we want to release, this is our first one that we want to release, because not only the artist that you are, but the individual that you are, the what you stand for and how you help communities. You really need to know that about you. Dude, don't, you're as you say, you're a sick individual.
Oh, thank you.
You really
so
are, man.
You.
Yeah, but you, but the more you should really know that about yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, even now,
I get freaked out. I'm like, thanks.
Because your music, your energy, your love of people touches people around the world. Yeah, that is unbelievable. You're doing things that no one else in this world is doing.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's freaking amazing.
It is amazing. It's beautiful to be a part of. And as I said, like, I think as we kind of, like, I can feel you, like, you're such a good presenter. You're like drawing the interview to an end. I'm like, you're like literally just like going, just like.
I'm looking at the time. I'm like, fuck, I could have another 2 hours with you.
Yeah, I fucking talk all day, whatever, like, editor's problem, innit? But I think what's exciting is, like, after everything we've built, we're going to launch this festival because it's like.
I want a
blood fest because I want it. It's a world. It's literally a world that. I want to be like, we dreamt of a world. I dreamt of creating something and now I'm literally going to make it. It's going to be like Youngblood world. And like, I wanted to create something that was like cheap because festivals are so expensive. I wanted to create something that was all about like community and friendship. We've had this mad idea like yesterday. I'm going to have a make a friend tent. That's going to be a tent with nothing in it. That if you're in that tent, you want someone to approach you and be like, hi, I'm Dom. Where are you from? You know what I mean? I was like, because I love meeting people. So I was like, here's a make a friend tent. We're taking the Hawley Arms pub in Camden to the site. And we're just going to make it just like, I wanted somewhere like.
Wow, that's amazing.
People can truly be themselves. Like for one day a year, you can be who you are. And with the things with gigs is you don't know when someone's going to come back. But the thing about this, it's going to be a constant. So you know that at least one day in 2025, 2024, 2026, 2027, 2028, or however long it runs for, you can go back and like, be who you are and bring your parents and bring your, like, I want it to be like a vibe for everyone. Cause if your parents are struggling with who you are, just like, why don't you come here? And like, you'll see this, a mass of 30,000 people who are just like me and maybe get it a little bit more.
Imagine the stories from the tent. People getting married.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I want. I want people to be like, we got married in the make a friend tent. Or like, I found my best mate of like 20 years in the make a friend tent. Or like, I don't know, you know what I mean? We started a business together. We started a clothing line together. We started a thing, like...
When did you first have this idea for Bloodfest? When was it?
Probably last year. I have pretty radical ideas. And so
then,
I don't
And then
sleep.
Suddenly you want to do it.
I was literally just like, we're going to do it. And I'm like, we're literally doing it. It's like, I don't want to do... I call my management. I'm like, cancel the tours. We're not doing another tour. We're going to bring everyone to one place and we're going to make it magic. And we're going to make it like insane. And everyone's like,
you're insane.
Yeah, everyone's like, you are mad. And then it's kind of like, it's become harder because getting artists is the hardest thing in the world because
they're busy. Because
people are busy. Like, we've got an idea to have an icon slot, which basically like an older artist who's an icon will come and play the 7:30 slot. So like everything that kind of is, we're paying homage to what the community has kind of come from. Like,
who are you hoping for?
So I spoke to The Cure, which was mental, but Robert can't do it.
Look at the nods, right?
I spoke to The Cure, but he can't do it this year. So I'm trying to get him for 25, touch wood, Robert. And then I spoke to Blondie, which was sick, but she's not touring.
Amazing you have these connections that you can.
Oh, which is mental. Yeah, I've got an email from Robert Smith, which is mad. And like, I want Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, but everyone's on tour. To be honest, I approached it a little bit late. But like, what was sick is I love a punk band called The Damned. Do you know The Damned?
No.
You don't know The Damned. Maybe like, this was a selfish one for me. This is the first year. The reason why I got the white streak in my hair is because of this punk band called The Damned. So I'm going to have them be the first icon slot at 7 o'clock. But I got artists like Little Yachty. I got artists like, new artists like Lola Young, who are like Jasmine Bean. It's going to be cool, man. It's going to be like new gen.
And you're just building it. This is the first year you're just building it.
The first year, I was just like, and I wanted it to really be about the community. Because I was like, if The Cure came the first year, that might take a little bit of the thunder away, to be honest. I'd be like, fuck my set. I'm going to see Robert Smith. Woo! At the front, it's like, Youngblood didn't show up for his set. He's watching The Cure.
Because when you do these amazing like pop-up festivals, people go wild.
Yeah, they go mental. I've
seen, what is the one where the famous one you had, that you were standing on like a truck, you were standing on
Brazil.
Yeah, man, that was...
That was mental.
How many people were there?
I would say 1,500. which was crazy. It was mental. It's like Latin America was mad. I have never seen my security guard scared. My security guard's like, hardest cunt you've ever met. I'm talking like, on that tour, he got a tattoo on the back of his head. Like a black heart on the back of his head. Like, and didn't flinch. He was laughing like craziest. And I have never seen him go, we got to go. I'm like, I was like, I'm at my house, right? We're going to Argentina for a festival.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving my house. And I'm like, you know what? I've had an idea. And everyone's like, shit.
Here we go again.
You know what I mean? I'm like, we should play a free gig tomorrow for the kids who couldn't afford the festival. And everyone's like, fucking hell, all right. So we get on the phone to the Argentinian label. And I'm like, how many tickets do you think we could do realistically? And I was like, let's be safe. Let's go with 500. I'm like, all right, cool, sick. That'd be cool. Before I'm at Heathrow Airport, I put on my story. Here's the location. I land at 8 in the morning. Here's the location. Sorry, I burped. Sorry, it's coffee. Lol. Here's the location. Meet me there for a free show. On a plane. 12 hours. Don't know what the fuck's happening. Land. Holy fucking shit. There's 1,000 kids outside the venue there. And apparently, Kev, my security guards had a call, being like, there's 1,500 kids outside at the airport. And I'm like, what the fuck? We've never been here before. Get to the airport. Scramble through the fucking airport. I'm like, this is fucking mental. Just like, literally just like,
I'm grabbing you.
Like, literally just like trying to move through. And I look, but I love it because I'm like, give me a cuddle.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, fuck, because I just sprinted. And everyone's like, fucking hell. And there's like the police there and shit. Get to the thing, get in a van, go to the hotel, wash me winky because I've been on a fucking flight for 12 hours. Of course, honestly, I really like to smell nice. You know what I mean? I was like, vibing. And then get in a van. There's about four to 5,000 kids outside this venue, but they've only allowed, because it's an outdoor venue and it's like kind of gated, so they only let four to 500 people inside the venue. So there's 5,000 people outside this gate, which is like wrought iron fences so you can see through it. And then we're playing in this place, and halfway through the gig they start to break down the gate. Like, I'm talking like metal bars been broken open, fucking like Storm the Castle shit. And my security guard, like, we have this thing because I really, on gigs, I think in COVID's wake, a lot of young people didn't go to gigs, so they're not used to being shoved around.
Yeah,
and our
gigs
get pretty, like, on the floor, get pretty jumpy. So a lot of the front row, like, if you were kind of like 12 in COVID, you're 15, 16, 17
and
now.
Know,
and then it goes back to like 50 at the seats, but like the front row's like whatever. And there's the lads who are like 22, 23, 24, like being quite aggressive in the middle. So I always have my security guard have an eye on security. And we have this thing. It's like, there's a problem. Someone's fainted, but I'm dealing with it. And then it's like, you got to stop the show.
Really?
So one arm up.
So one arm up's like, I'll be like, cause he's like, he's sick, man. You can like spot him a mile off. He's like, one arm up. I've got a problem. Someone's passed out, but I'm dealing with it. Keep the show going. Cause I'm just on stage, like singing, and I'll just clock him if he's like that. And then if two arms up, he's like, you got to stop the show, walk off stage. You got an issue. Like someone's had a seizure or someone's like hurt himself. So someone's fainted and we've got to clear the people. So not only did he do this, he's like, we got to fucking go. And I've never seen him frightened. Like normally he's like really calm, being like, he's like toured with Green Day and Oasis and like seen it all. You know what I mean? And he's fully just like, he's like, we have to go. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, man, yeah. What's for? One more song. He's like, we have to fucking go. And I'm like, oh shit. So we get off stage. They put us into this little fucking porter cabin, which is fucking roasting. I've taken my pants off because I'm so hot. It's fucking Argentina in summer. So I'm just kind of in my underwear, just like in me fucking creepers, like fucking like sweaty, like fucking hell, what's happening? And then they find the porter cabin and everyone's like, and I'm just egging, I'm like, yo, come in here. Signing whatever. And my management's like, Adam's like getting fucking mad at me. He's like, fucking hell, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just fucking talking to people. And then like they start to come there. Then we get out, get in a van, chase us down the road, and then they get on motorbikes and they're on fucking mopeds, like, hey, through the fucking van window. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, Latin America, man, you've never seen anything like it. You've never felt love like it. It's just like, whoa. It's like, holy shit. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, man.
Firstly, I do want to say that Bloodfest was on the 11th of August as well.
On the 11th of August. Oh, you're a legend for that. Yeah.
100%. We're going to leave all the links in the description below. So if you want to go and check it out, get tickets, go and do it. Don't freaking miss it. Go and get tickets to Bloodfest because it's going to be insane. And then you could be like, I went to the first ever Bloodfest when it's going for years.
You got to come.
Man, I swear to God, I'll be there. It's going to be insane. But dude, I do want to, before we get into the, and it's in Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes Bowl. Which is crazy. That's where like, I saw Green Day and like there's a famous gig of Bowie there, so it's like iconic venue.
I so heard that you got expelled for mooning a teacher.
Yeah. Not great, Miss Amel, maths teacher, 65-year-old woman. Not proud of it. But everyone was like, go on, Dom. I was like, nah, man, I can't. And everyone was like, go on, fucking do it. I was like, all right, and fuck it. No, it wasn't just like a thing, it was like knocked on the window, took my ass out and pressed it against the window. And I remember being in chemistry and a fucking deputy head knocked on the door. I was like, Harrison. Oh, no, he didn't even say my name. He was like, knocked on the door. I was like, you know what you've done. Come with me. He didn't even say my name. I was like, oh, fuck. Walked into the office. And this is the thing with me. I'm a bit naughty, but people either loved me or hated me. My whole life, like, my history teacher loved me, my drama teacher loved me, my maths teacher hated me.
Because you have that charm.
Because I have the thing or the whatever. Yeah. I was like, I had the kind of like, all right, fucking that thing, always. Because I think I was playing Youngblood before I even fucking knew what it was to kind of like, like be in my imagination. I said I grew up in my imagination.
Yeah, so
like,
you were playing that.
Never faced reality. So I was like, always fucking like happy or whatever. And then the deputy head takes me into his office. I really fancied his daughter, actually. And his daughter fancied me. So it wasn't great. So he's sat there and he's like, do you want to tell me what you've done? And I'm just like, I can't, you know, when you just can't stop laughing. And then he starts to laugh and he's trying to be like, we've got to suspend you. I'm like, sir, you're laughing. Why are you suspending me? Like, you're laughing. It's like a bit of fun. I didn't really mean to do it. And he's like, and then he got angry. He's like, she's a 65-year-old woman. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, do you know if you did this in public, you'd be arrested? I was like, yeah. I was like, fair. And then it kind of dawned on me. Walked out to the thing and I had a Sony Ericsson flip phone. And I felt it ringing. I was like, it's my mum. Fuck. Didn't pick it up. Wrong again. Didn't pick it up. Wrong again. I was like, fuck. Picked up the phone. It was like, she was a 65-year-old woman. I've just had to fucking school on the phone. How fucking could you wait till your dad finds out? Fucking blah. And then I went home and my dad kind of found it. I went to work with my dad 3 days. My dad was like, come on then.
Because I feel like that's... Because you're always breaking these rules, right? You're kind of like this sort of rebel in a way.
Yeah, it was just like my maths teacher didn't like me. It was like, whatever. And I just was like, but I fucking loved history. I loved history and I loved music and I loved drama. And like, my music teacher was sick. Her name was Miss McLinden. She always used to find me skiving maths.
I love how you name them. It's so great.
Skiving maths in the fucking piano room. And I'd be like, oh, Miss, don't tell. And she'd be like, didn't see anything.
I want to ask this quickly, just last thing, because, you know, you've had these hard times, really hard times, and you're so honest and vulnerable about it. You know, you talk about, you know, your single Hatred, I think it is, which is about sexual abuse
from a doctor
when you were 7 years old.
7 years old.
Which is insane.
Crazy.
And you talk about that, you know, you've been open about your mental health and the fact that you thought about suicide.
Yeah.
And I think you sort of attempted it.
100%.
You know, what do you say to the kids out there who look up to you, who love you, who see those struggles that you're going through and maybe they're experiencing that because the world is tough at the moment.
Yeah.
What do you say to them to keep going, to keep pushing through, to not go down that road?
I think the thing about it is this whole community has been about that. Like, it's been about fighting back and finding it within yourself to fight back. Like, I literally look down the camera and I was like, if you're going through anything like that, it will get better. It just will. If you actually give it a chance to. There's like the thing about, the only reason why I wanted to bring this together is because there is fucking light. There is so much light in every one of us, no matter how irrelevant or how judged or how small you feel. I've felt tiny my whole life, you know what I'm saying? And then like I turned to Youngblood before anyone knew what it was and all it's about with this is it's about community. And if you are out there and feeling like that, no matter, like, the biggest thing, what I always laugh about is a lot of people say like, oh, I can't be a Youngblood fan. I don't look like that. I don't look like that. It's like, that is so wrong, because like, I just look like this because I want to look like this. If you want to look like whatever, that's the point of Youngblood. You know what I mean? It's got spikes on and it's got eyeliner and it's got a safety pin in its ear, but that's just me. If you want to like wear a chicken suit, wear a chicken suit, or you want to come and like, you know what I mean? Like Lyle and Scott shirt, or you want to come in like, I don't know, like a Marks and Spencer blouse or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to do. That's the point about it. And I think like, it's just a community to belong, and it's got soundtrack for the music, and you can come and be in Youngblood even if you don't want to listen to the music, or you can, it's kind of just like, it's. I just wanted to build a community more than
And show
ever.
It gets better, right?
And show it gets better, and just show that like, you don't have to go, you don't have to do it alone. Like, you might meet someone in the street tomorrow that would change your whole trajectory of your life, but you're looking down. So look up. And that's the whole point of Youngblood. It's like, that's why I want to do a Make a Friend tent.
Man, I that advice, don't look down, look up.
Yeah, fully, so man. Important. It's just like, literally, if you are looking down on the ground, you are not seeing the person opposite you that's literally just like, yo, I feel like you too. But I looked up 10 minutes ago. So look up, because you just missed me. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's the vibe, in my opinion.
We like to end on 8 questions. Are you ready for
Love
this?
Love it. Is it quick fire round?
Quick fire. You can make it long. It's totally up to you.
I'm down.
Okay. What's a saying or phrase that always makes you smile or cheers you up?
Oh, fucking hell. A saying or phrase. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Fuck that up, didn't
I? I like that. What's the best compliment anyone's ever given you?
Fucking, you're a good cook. I'm like, wow, sick.
What are you cooking, mate?
Fucking cock a van. Or like steak and chips or something.
What scares you most about yourself?
Me head at 1 in the morning.
When you need to sleep.
Yeah.
When was the last time you cried and why?
When was the last time I cried? Fucking hell. Probably like 3 days ago, sleep deprivation.
What's something you can't let go of?
Skittles.
Great.
Sour ones, the green ones.
Fucking great.
Beautiful.
What's something that you'd be embarrassed for people to know you like or want?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, man.
Fucking love the Biebs.
I love, man.
Love the Biebs.
His first movie was the greatest.
Fucking love him. When that Purpose album came out, I was like, wow. Honestly, I even loved him in school. Everyone's like, fucking Justin Bieber's for girls. I'm like, no. You don't know Justin. Fucking get it. But you don't know Justin like I do. Fucking watching that documentary in Purple, I was like, whoa. Legend.
What turns you off?
What turns me off? Oh, fucking hell. Bad smells, man. Fucking hate bad smells. My house is a den of candles. Honestly.
It's like a fire hazard.
It's a full on. Everyone's like, yo, this is not great. It's a bit like a perfume shop. Like, each room's got a different vibe, and then it like accumulates in the hall. And I was like, fucking hell.
What turns you on?
Turns me on. Good smells. Rock hard. I'm joking.
What do you like most about yourself?
Me energy.
Yeah, it's great. It's
great. It's even great, though, it's a fucking nightmare.
It's not, dude. You embrace that. It's fucking great. 2 bonus ones. Favorite swear word.
Fuck.
That was good.
Or cunt. I know. You seen Olivia Colman? It's like, oh, cunt. It's a beautiful word. I'm like, fucking legend. I feel you. Honestly, I feel you. You go, Colman.
Okay, last question from me. That kid.
Yes.
With his imagination.
Yes.
Feeling alone.
Yes.
Would he be proud?
Yeah, I think he would. I hope so. Of course he would. Yeah, fucking hell. I'm not going to get heady about it. Yeah.
Give
fucking
a heady.
Fucking sick,
go,
man.
Yeah,
it's rock and roll, man. It's dope.
Thank you so much. Yeah! I appreciate it.
That was so sick.
What a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy. I mean, you sit in front of the microphone and you open up, and it's just, it's pretty incredible what people speak about when they have a microphone in front of them, and you kind of feel really easy with one another.
I've also never met anyone who's made you look low energy.
He's hyper.
High energy. Were you that high energy when you were the same age?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you're knocking on. I'm knocking quite on a lot that door. More years.
Yeah, I'm knocking on.
Not that door. I thought you're knocking on death's door.
I'm knocking on death's door at the moment.
No, you're about 9 years older than him. So
yeah, I think I was really high energy. I think he feels sometimes that he has to be that character, and that's why he talked about being the character of Youngblood. I think actually his natural state is much calmer, but he feels like he has to bring that energy all the time, which from my experience is pretty exhausting.
And Youngblood's Bloodfest.
Amazing.
Are you going to go?
100%. We're all going to go. The whole team's going to go.
That'll be really fun.
It's going to be great.
Will there be candy kittens?
Yes, there will. If you want any details as well, all of the details are in the show description. So it's just below where you're listening to this podcast. What a great guy. Absolutely love the episode. Hey, who do we have next week?
We have the lovely and wonderful Joe Brand.
Fantastic. Really get on well with Joe Brand. She's incredibly generous and kind throughout my entire career. She is on next week and I can't wait for that. You enjoyed that?
I love that.
Okay, listen, if you like the episode, please go and follow us on social media, Great Company Podcast. And also get in touch. We really would like to hear from you. Just slide into our DMs and let us know what you thought of the episode. And also, if you can please follow us, that would make a huge difference for people finding the podcast and loving it. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. Have a great day. And this was Great Company.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.